we debrief on last week's wolf hunt as hunters and trappers in our state far exceeded the statewide limit, killing 216 gray wolves and causing the DNR to end the season 4 days early. What role do wolves have in our landscape? Are you worried about wolves coming onto your property? What steps have you taken to deter them? Do you think hunting threatens the state's wolf population? It's 800-642-1234. Adrian Trevis is an environmental studies professor at UW-Madison's Nelson Institute. He founded the Carnivore Coexistence Lab. Adrian, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for inviting me.
Were you surprised that the quota was exceeded so quickly?
No, that was entirely predictable because of the rules of the hunt that don't respond quickly enough to filling a particular zone's quota and a lot of social media chatter about exceeding the quota by wolf haters.
So tell us about the wolf population and what you know. I mean, is it difficult to understand how many packs there are, how many wolves there are in the state?
Yeah, it's super difficult, Kate. And part of the problem is that this is the first time we've ever held a hunt during January and February, which is the wolves' mating season. This is when alpha males and females bond and mate and hopefully produce a litter of pups. The hunt occurring at this time is likely to have killed a lot of alpha males and females. And we have basically zero scientific information about the success of reproduction moving forward in 2021. On top of that, the snow-covered months like January and February are super important for wolf census. So you can basically throw away the data from January to all the way from December, January, February on the wolf count. All those data are now called into question because we don't know if a wolf that was counted back then was killed during the hunt. So my lab has made some efforts to estimate how bad the carnage was, and it's not just the legal reported kill, but all of the unreported poaching that would have happened at the same time.
And I would assume also the natural mortality life cycle.
100%, Kate. Yeah. So the high population size for the wolves was last May, let's say, and the official state estimate, the lower range of it was 1,034 wolves. They don't produce any pups after that period. Well, to be accurate, the 1,034 was adults in May. We can estimate how many pups were born, but then it's a continuous case of draining that resource. And then the hunt is on top of it, sacrificing future reproduction. So we are a little bit fumbling in the dark. We have to rely on mathematical models to predict where we are now and where we're going to be come November. And it's a bleak picture.
In terms of packs, the DNR said that there were 256 packs at the end of last year. What do you see?
Well, that's the information we have, and we don't have any additional information, but we can make projections based on the research using the official numbers, even though those aren't peer-reviewed. We've added on top of it our peer-reviewed research from Dr. Guillaume Chaperon and myself, and Dr. Francisco Santiago Avila, Dr. Rick Chappelle, UW-Madison, and myself. And we've made some projections that suggest over 100 wolves would have been poached at the same time as the legal hunting was going on. And that's actually a conservative estimate because this hunt was unprecedented in its use of snowmobiles, its use of nighttime hunting, the use of hounds, which is probably leading to hound fighting with wolves, which is illegal animal fighting. And that all contributes to an uncertainty. I'd say the minimum estimate is about 115 wolves were poached and undetected by law enforcement, who's had its teeth pulled over the years.
We heard from Rana, called from Cameron and couldn't stay with us, wants to ask you, Rana had heard about the 216 wolves being harvested and curious. Rana asks if this includes wolves harvested by Native Americans in Wisconsin. Can you explain that data a little bit more?
Oh, sure. Thanks for the question, Rana. I mean, I don't have the specifics. So there's a legal quota. There was a legal quota that might have included tribal members living outside of reservation, but the Ojibwe tribal nations of Wisconsin have declined to kill wolves. They tried to reserve, I believe it was 81, they tried to reserve 81 wolves out of the quota to protect them as living wolves, as is their right by federal treaty. And it's my understanding they did not kill any wolves because they view Maingan, that's what they call the wolf, as brother or companion in their creation story.
We heard from Matt and Wassa sent us an email saying that this massive overharvest of our shared natural resource makes Matt want to cry and says, we let a small minority of our population kill a quarter of our wolves in 60 hours. And Matt wonders, you know, what does this mean for the future?
Yeah, Matt, I hear you. The only thing I would add is that they actually killed more than a quarter because of this unreported poaching. And listen, if we call ourselves a state with science-based wildlife management, we've just made a laughingstock of ourselves across the nation and across the world, because the science behind this hunt is basically missing in action. And instead, a narrow minority started calling the shots. So there's a very real risk that we are jeopardizing the stability and security of our wolf population across the state. There's a very real risk of jeopardizing the truly legitimate wolf hunting season that would have started the November of 2021. And there's a risk that wolves get relisted by federal courts because of the behavior of a handful of Wisconsin hunters.
We have UW-Madison Environmental Studies Professor Adrian Trevis, who leads the Carnivore Coexistence Lab. Are you worried that a wolf hunting season will lead to the extinction of gray wolves in Wisconsin? What concerns you? Have you seen a gray wolf in the wild? What was the encounter like? Have you lost livestock to wolves? How did it affect your farm? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with Adrian Trevis here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with UW-Madison Environmental Studies Professor Adrian Trevis. The hunt last week was the first to take place during the gray wolf's breeding season, and the DNR says the vast majority of wolves were hunted with dogs. How do you feel about that? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Adrian Trevis is with us for 10 more minutes. Adrian, Wisconsin's Act 169 sets the rules for wolf hunting and trapping. It's the state law governing the annual wolf hunt. What does a fair chase mean in hunting down these wolves?
I don't actually know. That's not a scientific term. It's something that's thrown around by hunters who want to either be ethical or seem ethical. So that's a value-based statement about how hunting would be conducted. I think what's behind your question might be this issue of the vast number of wolves killed by hounds or houndsmen. And I think your listeners need to understand that these are large, aggressive dogs released and often kilometers away from their owners. Their owners can be sitting in their trucks tracking their dogs with radio telemetry equipment. The dogs are running all over tarnation. They aren't trained effectively to just home in on some targets, so they're likely to be harming other wildlife, including endangered species, and they're likely to get into fights with wolves, including targeting the alphas preferentially during the winter when the alpha male and female are urinating and leaving some blood in the snow because the female is ovulating. She's sexually receptive. That's an especially attractive trail for the hounds. So it's very likely that every pack that encountered hounds lost its alphas and therefore won't breed next year.
How do wolves react to being attacked by hunting dogs?
Well, I know how the law enforcement system of Wisconsin should react. It's illegal. Animal fighting is illegal. It's against statute, and the owners of those hounds should be taken to court on that basis. We don't know how the wolves react. I imagine it's horrible. If I had to put myself in their position, sounds like an absolute nightmare. And typically we expect wildlife to flee those hounds until the point where they're exhausted and can't run anymore. And at that point, we expect fighting to occur. We know many hounds get injured, and so we expect more wolves are getting injured and killed because these packs of hounds can be released. They can number six when they're released. And the average wolf pack size in Wisconsin is four in late winter.
Let's bring in Kathy now in Whitefish. Hi, Kathy. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate the show, and I appreciate that you have a scientist on. My concern is really that, to a great extent, the problem that we seem to have here is a governance problem. My understanding from news accounts of this hunt is that the DNR staff recommended that a smaller number of permits be issued and that the board significantly increased the number of permits. And so, and then, of course, we have DNR spokespeople saying that they regret the number of wolves that were killed. So it seems like the DNR board has put the staff in a position of having administered a hunt that they couldn't control. And the rest of us citizens are left seeing that this has happened in our state with no recourse and also no real reason to think that this won't happen again.
Kathy,
so, I appreciate the science focus of this discussion, but I'm wondering if your guest can speak to how or if we can have a way that science can infuse decisions going forward about this. And frankly, I'm not very optimistic.
Kathy, thank you. And the state did sell 1,547 permits for this hunt, Adrian.
Yeah, thanks. I think Kathy's hit the nail on the head. And I would ask Governor Evers to appoint an independent scientific panel to completely overhaul the wolf science behind the future management plan. And that process for overhauling the science needs to be done separate from the political pressures and influences of interest groups, which is not the current plan, as I understand it, from the DNR's call for their management planning committee. The reason that we need the scientists to be independent is so that they're not strongly influenced by undue political pressures or interest group preferences, but they simply weigh what do we know, what do we need to know, and bring the best available science to the political bodies that are going to make those decisions about quotas. So I think Kathy from Whitefish has hit the nail on the head that we have a problem of governance. Governor Evers can fix it with the stroke of a pen, and I'm calling on him to do that. We need independent science, and then we need a process that is transparent about the values that political groups and interest groups are bringing to the table.
And the DNR has said it's forming a wolf advisory committee to develop new quota recommendations for a hunt in November.
Yeah, listen, I hate to be a Debbie Downer, but the process they've articulated is going to make scientists like myself sidelined and forced to argue with politicians and interest groups about values, which is not our role as scientists. We're supposed to be evaluating the evidence based on accepted scientific standards. And we argue amongst ourselves as scientists, but we know how to come to consensus based on transparent standards of evidence. Then we present the evidence to the interest groups and decision makers and the public so they go through the political process. It has to be done in two steps separate from each other. Otherwise, you get the kind of mess we had in February.
Let's bring in Linda in Milwaukee. Linda, hi.
Hi. I wanted to comment about, Kate, your use of the word harvest. I know it's a common practice to use that word, but I read it online a comment recently, and I agree with it completely, that we harvest crops and we use them for purposes. I don't know anybody, or I've never heard of anybody, who kills a wolf to eat it, or to use it for really any positive purpose, other than possibly, which I don't think is very positive, is to have it stuffed. And I think that the word harvest is nothing more than a really nice euphemism for the word kill, which is actually what people who are killing wolves are doing.
Linda, thank you. Linda saying, you know, harvest being a sterile word, but what happens to a wolf carcass when a hunter kills the animal, Adrian?
Hey, hats off to you, Linda, for catching a euphemism that's hiding what's actually happening. Wolves are a public trust legacy for future generations. We are simply the trustees. And there's a very small minority of the population with lots of out-of-staters who would like to kill wolves for whatever they call it. It doesn't matter, whatever use they use it, they use that wolf for. It's going against the will of the vast majority of Wisconsin residents and U.S. residents. And U.S. residents have a say in this by Supreme Court rules since 1842. Wildlife are a legacy for the public, current and future generations. So thanks for that question, Linda.
Jeremy in southern Wisconsin. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Good morning. Yeah, I was just curious, you know, this conversation is very one-sided. I just want to say I'm not a wolf hunter. I have no desire to hunt wolves. However, like you're saying that we don't really have the science to back up the numbers and what they'll do. So the current population estimate that's being given is probably not that accurate. And I think we all agree that wolves are extremely intelligent animals. And do you think we could really kill 25% of the wolf population in Wisconsin in 2 days?
Adrian?
Hey, Jeremy, I appreciate your courteous and civil tone. And the question actually might be rephrased as, if the official death toll was 219 and our models suggest another 115 were poached cryptically, the question really should be, what is that percentage of the wolf population in February? And unfortunately, the answer is, we don't know. So I do think there's a tremendous risk that we killed a very high proportion of the wolf population. But really, we're only going to know that if we do good science now and into the future. And you can take an optimistic position on the death rate. That's what the DNR has done. Or you can take a cautious approach, which is what I've done.
Adrian, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Kate.
Adrian Trevis is an environmental studies professor at UW-Madison's Nelson Institute. He founded the Carnivore Coexistence Lab. Just ahead, stick with us. We look at the next phase of the COVID vaccination rollout, learn about Johnson & Johnson's newly approved one-shot vaccine. Can you get a vaccine appointment? Is there something you want to know about the J&J vaccine? 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.